himself in Washington, and we became friends on the outside. And it just seemed as though that there were like three groups within the workshop. There was Ann and I, Lynn and Rickla and Ingrid in Alberta, and then there was T. Grace and Ruth and Ellen Eileen, and then there was Jean and Herta, no, who didn't know anything, that who were completely...
There's no group between us.
Yeah, I don't mean to put you together, but they're not completely
but
outside.
Again,
yeah, and it was just a sense of not being together, like the group not being together. And my accusations to Ruth, I apologize for losing my temper the way I did. Perhaps that is not the best way to have a confrontation, I guess it isn't. But as T. Grace said, it wasn't something that just happened. It was something that had just built up and built up and built up. And I don't want to let things like that build up anymore, because when they do build up, then they explode. And there have been times when I have felt that there's a condescending manner. And I'll state them again. I stated some of them that evening.
Can I say something? Ruth is here six nights of the week, and maybe she has a manner where she's always working for DOB and we're always pushing for DOB, and we're all exhausted. And
maybe you would do the same thing if you'd
been there.
That's right.
Six nights a week.
I agree with you, Eileen.
Yeah. We're all
what
pushing
I'm saying
for
is
DOB.
It's coming across to me in a certain way, but I want to know what's behind it. I want it all out. Cause
I don't
want to feel that way about you or anybody
else.
I would
like to ask a question. If indeed the cause for this very painful, embarrassing, hostile eruption is because you feel I have a condescending manner of speaking, I wonder how you translate your feeling that I have a condescending manner to the point where you will say, I don't trust you, mm-hmm. and calling me hypocritical in a very, very hostile, hurtful way.
Because when somebody speaks to me and they point their finger at me like this, and when they make value judgments about what other people have to say, not only verbally but facially, and then it just makes me, you know, wonder about that person. Like I told you that night, you know, when you're talking to me, you're pointing your finger in my face, and I said, please don't point your finger at me. And you said, aha, I sense some hostility. And okay, I was telling you, don't point your finger at me, because that's something that men do.
I would like to say, and there were many witnesses there, that you came on, first crack out of the box after the expression for I'm sorry, going around the room like you had a machine gun saying, I don't trust you, you're hypocritical.
Okay,
it was only after that that we got into any sort of conversation. I said, why? I mean, in what area don't you trust me?
I'm not saying that my manner, the way I presented myself that evening, was the best. And I want to work on that myself. And in the same way, I'm saying that I don't think that your manner is the best. And I know that I have many faults, and I want to, if you see them in me, I want you to point them out to me.
So don't you think that's downplaying?
We don't have a kindergarten here to educate each other for their manners.
No, that's right. But if I say something or if I do something that is offensive to you, you have a right to tell me that I'm offending
you. I might even feel sorry for you and say nothing. That's my habit.
Maybe that's what you do. Yeah. I think the confrontation.
Because in many ways, that you don't. It's useless to go on a defense sometimes. You have to judge for yourself. And it's better, I think, to keep quiet and think your part and handle it and act accordingly when the time is right for it, rather than blow yourself out and have to apologize for it afterwards, because it turned out to be wrong anyhow. I mean, it's a way of behavior, which, I don't accuse anybody for that, because some can easily get agitated or excited about something, and some don't. And that's a personality thing, or a mentality or something, what you call. from.
Marlene, I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't know you well. But we've spoken, and you don't seem a person who would take such a big step. In other words, that you're aware of the effects of things. That it wouldn't. I can't believe that that some characteristics or handling, people's handling of themselves, would have caused that strong an expression, because I just think that it was, you must have known how costly it would be, and that you wouldn't have done it, or I don't know, you and Anne certainly did it together, if it were, you know, just that, and why it would have taken those expressions. I think partly of getting caught in the middle, that a lot of frustration and so on builds up. But the words of trust are very, very strong. You know, that's really
strong. That's right. And
strong.
I very rarely lose my temper the way I did that evening. Rarely. But I do have those feelings. And I'd like to explain, when tonight opened up, you said that one of us was saying that we had heard that there was support for Lynn in DOB, and when she asked us where we heard the support was coming from, that we said we didn't want to answer. I want to respond to the context in which I said that I had heard that there was support for Lynn in DOB. And I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. That evening there were a lot of heavy exchanges, and Ruth made four comments regarding Lynn. And I said to Ruth, I'm wondering if the hostility between you and Lynn is not a political thing, because I have heard that there is support for Lynn in DOD. And one of the things that Ruth said, and the reason that I'm repeating it is because I want to hear what Lynn has to say. I want to know what the truth is. I'm tired of hearing Lynn and myself and everybody else say things about so-and-so, and I'm tired of hearing, you know, you say it about them, and I don't want to. He said that Lynn wanted to do a interview with Playboy magazine, that we discussed already, right? And you said about the our Times article, that we discussed already, okay? And then you said that Lynn was very upset that I had chosen the lot to call Jonathan Black. You said that she really wanted to call Jonathan Black herself.
She did not express it.
That's right. You said that she didn't say it, but she really wanted to call Jonathan Black herself. You said, I saw her over there biting her fingernails, and she was really upset that you chose the lot. And I would like to know what Lynn feels about that.
I didn't want the responsibility to call Jonathan Black, first of all. Second of all, I always bite my fingernails. That's one of my problems, is that I bite my fingernails, and it had nothing to do with Jonathan Black or anything else. I was biting my fingernails.
Would you say, Lynn, that your attitude on media and publicity is more open? In other words, that you would be prepared to do more interviews than other people on the way we've discussed on a political basis? I mean, that seems to have come out. Now, one interpretation of this, although there hadn't
I think I'm the one that said I to do the thing with Playboy. I don't think
I was thinking about the New York Times here.
Oh, the New York Times.
In terms
did you
of
ever
just
say anything about Playboy?
No, I don't think
she ever said anything.
All I said was I'd like to hear about it.
Well, at the bar, what you said to me, because she was sitting right
yeah,
next
and
to
I,
me.
And I said to you.
Well, she said, well, I guess they didn't, I said, did something about Playboy, did they call you back? And you said, well, no, they haven't. I guess they didn't want Trisha Nixon. So,
but they had never called in the first place, so.
Well, I don't, you know, I didn't say they had called in the first place. I just was trying to get some reaction to see whether, you know, this was not a mistake in terms of an attitude towards Playboy. It's just out of the question. But I'm saying that I wasn't here, as I recall, nor I wasn't on the Jonathan Black thing. I think, you know, so I don't know what your expression was about that. I think that there, I've been able to observe a political, again, it's not a personality conflict between you and Ruth. There do seem to be real political differences, ideological differences. And I think that that certainly plays a part, and I think that there are people who left DOB and did some very vicious things. The people now is so, I'm writing up a statement just with the documents, now has such a history on being anti-lesbian that it's inconceivable to deal with them. I think that there are political differences. I think that your interests and the coalitions you can perceive of indicate that, and I think it's, you know, when I get around to making a statement, that's what has to be kept in mind. It isn't, I don't know if somebody suggested Lenin for president. I found that unlikely, but I don't know.
Well, it's true, and I find it hard to take myself. And
well, you were the one then who repeated it, too.
Yeah, I told them. There's this whole faction of DOB that wants me to run for president, and I'm not interested in running for president.
Do you object to saying who they are?
Now? No, of course not. Tina and and Alma. And I don't know, these people keep coming up to me and saying, I hear you running for president. The first person who said it was about 3 months ago, wasn't it, when Marty said it?
Marty said it.
Yeah, she said it out of the wild blue, so it's...
But you know, but you did suggest, or some, who suggested Tina be on the board?
I did. But for totally different reasons. I don't want to become president of the other.
No, I'm just saying, I'm talking about these women's political positions and Alma, you know, what happened around that. These women all have very strong ideological positions that are very reactionary in terms of feminism, in terms of lesbianism. And
excuse me, I have to, since Marlene, you said it to me, I think your differences are political. Certainly, in view of a number of things that Lynn has done, some of them which we've discussed, the Times Magazine, the alliance with Tina and Pam, and the fact that she's working on the April 24th march, and that Alma, who is listed on the program as Isabel Miller, is going to be one of the speakers, that Alma, in turn, is talking DOB, let's get back, now this is all old history. Let's, Roz McGill, who is our past president, who organized the bagels, you have to understand, she's a woman, Ruthie, we can't lose women. She's talking coalition with the woman who was primarily responsible for the formation of the bagels. All of these things certainly in my head end up as a political difference with Lynn. I cannot see how anyone who is lesbian, feminist, can make such alliances. There is a strong, on my part, a strong ideological parting of the ways with them. As far as the politics of DOB, if you meant political in that sense, you know, about the presidency thing, that doesn't worry me at all.
I think there was a betrayal. Lynn, if you knew that Tina want someone other than Ruth to run for president. You are on our board, and to try to bring Tina onto the board when she's not for Ruth, you're not with the board at all.
First of all, I did not make it a mandatory thing. I suggested it. I did not say Ruth has to put Tina on the board.
First of course,
nobody's saying that.
I disagree with Tina in many things.
But you want her on the board of DOB.
But
knowing that she wants a different president, that's really betraying you, betraying the whole board.
What I was trying to say before, I guess I didn't make myself perfectly clear. I realize that there are political differences between the two of you, and I understand it myself. But what's happening is that because of your political differences, you're making comments about Lynn when Lynn's not present, and Lynn's making comments about you when you're not present. And that's what was disturbing me. Like, you were implying that Lynn was jealous that I got the lot, you know? And instead of saying it there, I think it's much better that it's discussed here.
Right, but Marlene, has Lynn said more things to you? I mean, the bulk, because when I've seen, when Ruth said those things, it seemed to me that already it was clear that there had been, say, what I would call machinating. That is, when people are disturbed by something and are not bringing it out and say, I'm disturbed by this, you know, what are we going to do about it? But instead operate
Excuse
on one section
me,
or the
I've
other.
I've got to show this. It's beautiful.
Oh, wait a minute.
You
please excuse me.
Oh, you got one too.
I'm terribly sorry for interrupting. That's a work of art.
I lost.
I'm terribly sorry.
Are you asking me if there are other things that you
No, no. I was just saying that, like, say, for instance, people, when they talk about factions, one, I hate, every time something goes, there are always these things that seem to disrupt and all. And the idea of a faction always seemed, was a little bit puzzling, partly because we knew each other for the workshop, and secondly, because what goes on apparently outside in the so-called other faction does not go on in the so-called original faction. And also the complaints that I have that I feel very guilty about. The reason I laughed when Ellen gave me another example is I am so uptight that I do much more justice by people who I'm not as close to in the workshop. So they get shafted a lot. I mean, they get put at the end and all. Because that's just, which is unfair. And they brought that out. So that what I gather is the implication is that the faction, Ruth, myself, Ellen, Eileen, is somehow in power faction. That's what I've gathered was the implication. When you talk about factions, it usually has to do with the powerful. And our relationship does not function that way, I don't think, in the workshop, because if anything, they get shafted on that, not as much attention paid. So on, you know, anxieties that may be over other things. I don't know.
It seemed at the workshop meeting, when I brought out T. Grace's and my friendship that existed prior to the first conception of a workshop on feminism, that people there, all of us, at least made noises as though they understood. And why this
as though they were what?
Understood that this, a friendship in relation to the workshop does not carry itself over into the workshop, into this power thing. And I thought everyone said, oh, it is clear now. And I also said at that meeting that whenever, if ever, push comes to shove and it's a choice between political and personal, the political Because you think it's got to go out the window.
The political, the personal.
The political, the personal, yeah. That everyone said, oh yes, yes, yes. Okay, that's understood. Well, apparently it wasn't understood.
But I do, I understand that. I think I accept that. I mean, I think it's fine that you're friends. I have nothing, no qualms with that. None at all. Me personally, I don't have any qualms with that.
Well, don't you think, I think you should talk about what you do, what does bother you, because what bothers you is, you know...
What? Are you leading up to something?
I mean, what's bothering her makes her very angry, and she, and... Friday, you didn't want to speak about it because you were in a bad mood about something else.
Yeah, that was
yeah,
something else. I did not want to... First of all, the complete workshop is not here on Friday. Second of all, I was in a bad mood about something else prior to coming to the workshop, and I did not want to let that, you know, that anger go into what I was going to say at the workshop.
Everybody seems, see, I get this weird feeling of everybody trying to pull out of you what apparently you say
to other people,
and then they were the ones who end up exploding.
I started to say it where I said that I got conflicting statements, or everybody got conflicting statements, it wasn't just me, about why Ellen and Eileen and Ruth didn't show up that Sunday.
The three of us weren't even together. I don't understand.
I know you weren't together. You've said that many times. I accept that. I accept that as true.
What
is this
were
the
conflicting
that
statements?
Erika is talking about that you're so upset about? Or is there something that you really can't bring yourself to say?
No, that's it.
And
the conflicting statements about the three subsequent meetings that we were supposed to go through from the 4th of April to when we finally did get together last Friday.
And what were the conflicting statements?
First of all, you said, Ellen said that I called her up at 10 o'clock. I finally got a hold of her at 10 o'clock that Sunday. And she said, oh, we forgot.
But I was horrified.
And then I accepted that you forgot. I mean, I was sorry that you forgot, but I accepted it. And then, like,
excuse me. Do you mind if I say it?
Go ahead.
You didn't accept it. You said, how can three minds function at once?
Yeah,
how can three people forget at once?
I tried to explain about how tired we are. You know what,
no,
every single night. And the three of us had said at the end of that Friday, we're free for the week, and I think it just stuck that way. And
I would like to add, too, that we were not together. I was rather occupied that Sunday.
I know that.
I did forget, which I told you, but I was very highly occupied. So it had nothing to do with three minds functioning in the same way.
That's the way it sounded. You see.
But it has to
do
with not functioning, doesn't it?
We have, you know, we forgot.
Excuse me.
You see, if one of us would have remembered, we would have reminded the other.
You mean Ellen said that in relationship to Eileen
to
and herself?
And
no,
to Ruth also,
and
because,
Ruth, we, all,
because
we
had spoken to Ruth that
and
day,
it sounded
and she had
like,
mentioned,
I mean, three people
is that the
forgetting.
Time I went to bed Saturday night? Sounded
bad.
Monday morning?
No.
Well, the thing is, if one of us would have remembered, we would have told the other.
This whole movement.
Did you think that it was...
forgets
that
most
of
everything all the time.
Was it a plot that we purposely did it or something?
No, I didn't think it was a kind of plot.
And you know how important this is to us.
No, I realize that. I think that it's very important to you. I know that it's very important to you. And I don't think it's some sort of a plot that you're not showing up at a workshop. I mean, what kind of a plot is that? To not show up. It doesn't make any sense if I thought that. The following Tuesday, when you did show up and T. Grace was going to be out, I got very angry with T. Grace. Because you did not tell anybody or call people so that they would not show up as well.
Right. Well, I said to you, that was at the Bandy show the next night, I said, I understand that you were very upset.
Yes.
About this.
And you
and
said, and then Ruth said that we would talk about it at the workshop.
No, I said to you, then I said something came up, it was literally a matter of life and death that I couldn't go into.
Yes.
and that if you wanted, but I thought we should discuss it, and that you were angry at Ellen Eileen with this, apparently. When we were in the bar, he went through this whole apology to Ellen and Eileen that you shouldn't have jumped on them. Mm-hmm. And I felt you'd sort of slipped out of my hands, and I felt if you were as angry as I had been told you were, then I thought, uh-oh, I should press it, because you were really just sort of, you know, laughing it off. And and I tried at the Bandy show, as I said, when we were sitting next together, and I was glad we were sitting next to each other, and I just turned and, you know, confronted you with it. Now, this seems to me a pattern, and I am not quite able to make out what's going on here, that Marikla, that these, that here you really seem much looser and carefree than well, I can't see Anne, but then Marikla and Marlene, that they, Marikla seems to want you to say, you know, well, do you want to tell them? Well, this is where
no,
the loyalty
I mean,
thing.
Mind, no, I meant, does she mind my asking her questions?
But if these things are operating, like something came up with Ruth that night, and if you're very close to somebody, sometimes I don't even trust my own judgment on them, and I check it with somebody else. Like, each one of us as an individual has obligations to any group we function in. So that this, it seems to have happened before, that people are very reluctant to get to try and talk about what you have said to them or what's been said in company, and yet, and I don't understand why that is. If the things have been said, and if it's led to this, and if it led to a very destructive scene last Saturday, this is very, I don't like it, let's put it that way.
Let me say one thing. I think that all right, I did talk about the workshop and about personalities in the workshop with Anne and Marlene. And at one point, Alberta was in on my anger. Now, I will not take complete blame for Anne and Marlene's thing Saturday night, because I think that I could not force anybody into anger like that. So I think that they must have some feelings as well as me.
That's right.
I will take complete blame for my half of it, or my three quarters of it.
But we can't find your part of it. I mean, you are the one who's always
her, silent. Her anger is about your being late, I mean, about your forgetting Sunday, and
you're
being...
Your anger is about the Bandy show?
Your anger about the Bandy?
Because you knew exactly as much as we knew.
No, I know that. I know that. I wasn't angry with her.
And we tried to reach her home.
Wait a minute, let me talk. I want to get everything straight now. First of all, I want to say something. I'm a person that I don't like to be used. Okay. Just to give you a little example. The social workers party has been calling me and been trying to get me, you don't know, for months and months and months. And I've been trying to just, you know, slide. I get out of their reach because I don't want any part of them. All of a sudden, I find my name in the Voice supporting this demonstration, the march of April 24th, and with the Women's Center.
Ann
Sanchez.
Excuse me. Is the Women's Center supporting it?
That is the implication. Now they're using me. You see, they, a long time at the gay march, someone came up to me and said, told me about the march. I told them, oh. Then they said, well, can we use your name? Would you like to speak? So then I said, I'd like to find out more about it. Don't use my name. All of a sudden, I see my damn name in the Voice, and it says Women's Center. The implication is that it is an organization, which the Women's Center is not an organization. And the implication is that the Women's Center is supporting this action, which is really run by the SWP, which was kicked out by the Women's Center. So where does that leave me? Now I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to write to the Boys, and I don't know what to do. But I'm totally so angry about that. So angry that Marlene and I told her, I'm not even going to go to that march because it's just they're using everybody. That SWP is just using everybody, and I don't want to be used. For the longest time, not only for that, for the longest time, I have been used. What am I, a token third world person? That's what I feel. You know, yes. What am I, a token third world person, period. Okay. The reason I went Sunday, I was all fucked up. You don't know how upset I was about this thing. Upset. But I was really, really upset. Just, I couldn't think of anything. I escaped into reading. I was really upset. And the reason I came, when I left your apartment, I came back. The reason was because when I left, I had embraced all of you. And I felt myself as a hypocrite because I didn't feel like embracing you. I didn't feel like embracing certain people. And they were Ruth, Eileen, and Ellen. And I wasn't sure, too sure about embracing T. Grace. Now, where I come from, my head comes from, I feel I'm a token third world lesbian. And I feel people want me. I don't know why. I don't know why the fuck. But you put my name there, to have Sanchez name on there, because that Sanchez is a Spanish name, supporting everything.
You feel that here?
Okay. I don't trust white people. At times, I don't trust. I have a very hard time trusting people. When I came back, it was solely for the purpose of you know, like, with the bendito thing. That's when I came out with the bendito thing. Spanish people could have to say bendito. They would say bendito, I'm sorry, I feel sorry for that person. Even when that person is sticking a knife in them, you know, really. They get, Puerto Ricans get fucked over. Cubans don't have this expression, it's Puerto Ricans. And with Alan, okay, dude, it was, I said these things, not for one sole reason, it was for different reasons. With you, Alan and Eileen, I said it, I'll explain now, I said it to you, because there are times when I don't trust my relationship with you. I know, I see that, I know that you work with third world people and all this, but I don't know. It's things that I have to work with because I've been fucked over so many times, and I'm not asking you for your pity, but it's just that it's hard for me to trust, you know? And I know we've been friends. I know that, but sometimes I don't feel, I it's hard for me to trust. So, yeah, I would embrace you on a friendship level, but there's a thing there that I don't trust. I don't trust. I don't know why. I don't know why. With Ruth, there is that condescending language.